Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
All right, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for listening to this edition of the podcast. We're back. We're back. We've been away for a couple of weeks. If you're a person who follows the podcast, you're wondering what happened to him. Did he disappear? Well, yes, I did, actually. What happened was, in part at least, maybe in large part, is that Melinda and I moved across town. And so I have been in the process of packing boxes and moving and trucks and all of that and unpacking boxes. And in the meantime, trying to still work because I am still employed, as far as I know. So that's what's been happening, is between getting done what I need to get done here for Christ Lincoln and then unpacking boxes on the side. That's what's been happening. And so I kind of let the podcast slide. But I'm back, at least temporarily. So if you're excited about that, great. There you go. And who knows how long it will last because we're in a transition here at Christ Lincoln as we bring in a new campus pastor to our Yankee Hill campus, Pastor Joe Barron. Very excited for him to arrive. He's on his way, and we'll install him on August the 3rd, 2025, in the afternoon. So if you can be part of that, love to have you here. And at that point, we'll see what happens. But for right now, back on the podcast today. And because I don't know how many more podcasts I'll do, I want to treat you and me to a special treat at the end of the podcast. You'll have to listen to the end to get the treat, and then you'll decide whether or not it's a treat or not. But I'm saving that for the end. I just had to do it. The podcast today is about something pretty serious, and that is the floods that have taken place in Texas this past week, about a week ago or so. It hasn't even been a week. It's been less than that. And if you've been following the news, I think well over 100 now have been declared dead. There's 150 plus missing, I think. So just a terrible, terrible tragedy in Texas. And whenever these kind of things happen, we're always driven to our knees in prayer as Christians. And others who don't believe in God raise the flag and say, this is why I don't believe in God. How could a God allow this kind of thing to happen? What's God doing? And so these questions are called questions of theodicy, is what they're called. And I wanted to deal with them today, not kind of regurgitating what you've already heard about it in terms of, you know, we Christians should pray for comfort for people, should maybe give to you know, various organizations that can help in these situations. All that is laudable and great and wonderful. But I want to present to you a perspective that might be a little bit different, to give you some things to think about that you might not hear about in your everyday life or might not immediately come to as you think about these kind of tragedies. So the first thing I want to share with you is a statement, an article by Michael Knowles. Michael Knowles is I think he's a writer, I guess, for the Daily Wire, also has a podcast, I presume, I think. But anyway, he wrote about some of the things that he's hearing on the news concerning this tragedy, that it could be totally preventable. In fact, one of the quotes he gives in his article in part says, with the flooding in Texas and all those precious little girls dying, it's important to remember that this was 100% preventable. And then he goes on to talk about the theology behind this. In part, it's an anti-Trump kind of thing, an anti-various politicians, anti-Governor Abbott of Texas or anti-whoever. You know, if they'd done more, this could be prevented. This never would have happened. We never would have tragedies like this. But because of various government policies, now we're going to have a horrible summer of great heat and tragedies, and then we're going to have a horrible winter and all of this kind of thing. And he says in his article about the theology behind this, he says, looking at this theologically and ideologically, these statements are a denial of original sin. That's the theological issue. He says the tragedy, they say, has to be preventable because the world can't be fallen, because there can't be any such thing as original sin, because there can't be any limits on human potential. We must be able to control everything. Bad things can't just happen, they say. We must be able to stop it. We are human beings. We have the potential to totally control the world. We can make ourselves into gods. That's the theory. And it's false. He says, in fact, there has been evil and death and sin in the world since Adam and Eve were booted out of the garden. Yes, there are things we can obviously do to protect ourselves, to try to cope, to comfort people who deal with the suffering that life entails. But this idea comes down to a fundamental error in modern ideology, in liberalism most notably. The hubris, the pride, to say we can prevent evil, we can just totally stop it, we can perfect the world, we can save the world. That's the error. There's only one person who can save the world, and he has. Boom. I love how he ends that article. There's only one person who can save the world, and he has. The fact is that these things are going to happen. Can we do things to help lessen their impact, to maybe help prevent some? Yes, but we cannot prevent them. In fact, these things happen because of original sin, because of the fall of the world into sin, even from the time of Adam and Eve. St. Paul talks in Romans about the world groaning as it awaits the redemption that will come via Jesus Christ and the new heavens and new earth. So these things, we shouldn't point the finger at other people when tornadoes, hurricanes, all these things happen and say, if you'd have done something, we wouldn't have had this hurricane or we wouldn't have had this flood. Well, in some cases, that may be true, you know, but in most cases, no. Not true. In fact, Jesus says these kind of tragedies have happened since the time of the fall into sin and will continue to happen as long as this world, this fallen world, exists. So Michael Knowles points out the fact that what's behind this is the fact that we live in a fallen world. Jesus deals with this question as well in a very similar situation to what happened with the floods in Texas. And he gives a very interesting answer that you, I'm guessing, may not have thought about. And so I want to bring up on the screen a scripture from Luke. Let's get it here. From Luke chapter 13. And Jesus is presented with a problem. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Apparently, these people from Galilee had made a sacrifice and Pilate had gone in and slaughtered them and killed them while they were making a sacrifice. And Jesus said, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. And then Jesus goes on to an example that's very much like the floods in Texas. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. What is Jesus saying here, particularly about the Tower of Siloam, this kind of random event that it collapsed and 18 people died? They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Why? Why them? Why does God allow this tragedy? What's going on here? This is what Jesus says in verse 5, Luke 15, verse 5. I tell you, they were not worse sinners than others, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. What does Jesus mean by that? Why does he say that? He doesn't sound very compassionate. Well, if you look at what Jesus is saying there, I think Jesus is telling us one of the reasons that these things happen, one of the reasons that God allows these things to happen, is a warning to us. So yes, we should be compassionate and all of that, but really there's a warning here. There's a warning that one day we will all die. One day, we might not die with the Tower of Siloam falling on us. We might die in a flood. Or we might not die in a flood. We might die in a car crash. Or we might not die in a car crash. We might die of a heart attack. We might not die of a heart attack, but we might die of cancer. And we might not die of cancer, but we're going to die maybe of old age. For one reason or the other, all of us will die. And unless we repent, we will perish eternally. And so these things happen, and one of the reasons God allows these things to happen is a warning to us. Your time is short. You never know when your time is up, when my time is up. And so we should live each day ready for that time. We should live each day repenting of our sins, confessing our sins to God, trusting in Jesus for eternal life, because one day, we will all meet our Maker. So that's kind of it's not really a happy thought for an unbeliever especially, But Jesus uses tragedies like the one in Texas to say, watch out. It was their last day today. It will be your last day someday, maybe even today. And so, as it says elsewhere in Scripture, today is the day of salvation. That's what Jesus uses these tragedies for, is to point us to salvation, to say, you know what? You better be careful here. One day, you too will meet your Maker. Are you ready? That's why God allows these kind of tragedies to happen. I think there's another great answer to the question, what was Jesus doing that day? Where was Jesus when those poor little girls from that Christian camp, they were Christians, they were followers of Jesus. What was Jesus doing when those followers of Jesus were washed away, those poor little girls? What was he doing? Well, here's a great picture that one of our members, or maybe more than one, posted to Facebook. Facebook's good for something. What was Jesus doing? I love this picture. If you're listening online, it's a picture of a just beaming, smiling Jesus and three girls. One of them he's hugging and two of them are running toward him. And they're all wearing Camp Mystic t-shirts. That was the camp where the girls were staying, where they lost their earthly lives, but they gained their eternal life. And there's this picture of Jesus. It's almost beyond words. A picture's worth 1,000 words, and I'm not going to say 1,000 words. But this picture of Jesus, the gates of heaven in the background, and the girl, he's just welcoming her to heaven. And the picture is not saying, and her feet are dripping with water, you know, from the flood. This picture is not saying that Jesus caused the flood. Jesus, in fact, I believe his heart is grieved at the death of any human being, as he was at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. So on the one hand, this picture, what it is not saying is that Jesus caused the flood, or it was these girls' time to go home, or all of that kind of stuff. But what it is saying is what Romans 8:28 says, that God turns all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so this terrible tragedy of the flood is turned to good by Jesus as he welcomes these girls into his loving arms. And for them, life is great today. It's just, it's beyond comprehension great. For the families it is who are left behind, it's beyond comprehension hard. It's beyond comprehension difficult. I cannot even imagine the pain of the families. But I would hope and pray that this picture would bring some comfort to the families, knowing that their girls are fine, their girls are with Jesus. It's we who are left behind, who struggle, who need the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the body of Christ wrapped around us. We are the ones who need that. And so we get to provide that. As followers of Jesus, we get to provide comfort and care for those who go through life's tragedies, as we all will, sooner or later, one day or another, as we all have. So hopefully those things give you some food for thought. The theological comments by Michael Knowles, the comments of Jesus warning us that one day we too will all perish, and so we need to be ready to go to the arms of Jesus. And how do we get ready to go? Simply by faith and trust in Jesus, that he died and rose again for you. If you are not ready, if you are not placing your total faith and trust in Jesus, I encourage you to do so today, to trust him for the gift of eternal life. And one day you will have the experience of those girls as Jesus welcomes you, maybe a prodigal son, maybe a prodigal daughter, whatever the case might be in your life, he welcomes you with open arms into his eternal kingdom, where there will be no more crying, no more mourning, no more grieving, no more tears, for those things will have passed away. I long for that day. While we are still here on this earth, God gives us various things to cheer us up, to bring joy to our lives. And so I want to end the podcast today with a surprise. And it may bring joy to your heart, it may not, but it certainly brings joy to mine. This was an event that took place about 7 years ago or so. And it was perhaps one of the most joyful events that I've had in my earthly life. And so I want to share it with you. Of course, it involves, since this is Eagles on the Hill, it involves the Eagles and the Super Bowl from January of 2018. Let's take a look.
Hold on. We're going for it right here.
What's a no-brainer? He ain't gonna go for it.
You gotta take three. Right?
Great! We don't time out.
Wow, they're going for it here.
And the Eagles will keep the offense out there on a fourth and goal from the one.
You want Philly Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. Hold on. Here we go.
I would feel better at this point taking the 3 points. I think it's a risk.
Here we go.
And if you make it, it's great. But if you don't make it, it's a big momentum swing.
Philly special. Ready? Here we go. Tonight! Easy! Kill! Lane!
Goes directly to Clement. Reverses it.
This play call has a chance to be remembered as one of the all-time greats.
Holy smokes! What did we just see?
It's like Madden for real. Everybody breaking big, hella big plays.
People say you got to be daring to beat the Patriots on this stage, and Doug Peterson certainly showing a lot of confidence in his offense.
That's as aggressive as you could possibly be. Go for it on a fourth down for the all-time trick play.
All right, well, there you have it. I had fun watching that. Hope you had fun, too. And if you're not a Philadelphia Eagles fan, well, that could certainly make you one. So anyway, there you go. Serious topic today, but also some fun at the end. And I want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know some thoughts you might have about what happened in Texas or your thoughts about the upcoming Philadelphia Eagles season. If you like, you can do that too. Thanks for listening and hopefully back on soon. Remember, as we close, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. God's blessings. Thanks for listening to the podcast.